got cut off.
Okay, so we left off last week. We had just gone through the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos said five things that the neshama has in common with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll just run through them again quickly so you remember. We said just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Malei Kol Olam, he fills the entire world, so too the neshama fills the entire guf. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Roa Ve'enu Nireh, he sees but cannot be seen, so too the neshama sees but cannot be seen. That's going to be the critical one. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zonis Kol Olam, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu sustains the entire world, so too the neshama sustains the guf. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Tahor, just so too the neshama is Tahor. And just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Yosef V'chadrei Chadarim, he's hidden away in the back room, so too the neshama is Yosheves V'chadrei Chadarim. And then the line of the Gemara, the powerful line of the Gemara, Yavo Mishiyesh Bo Chamisha Dvarim Halalu V'yishabeach L'mishiyesh Bo Chamisha Dvarim Halalu. Let the one who has these five things come and praise the one who has these five things. Dahainu, that the only way, and Rav Albi spoke this out, the only way for us to attach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through the neshama, through what we describe the chovos, not the chovos ha'ivarim, not the chovos ha'guf, but the avodah tzifona, right, the chovos ha'levavos, going deep inside of ourself and attaching to that which cannot be touched. Yeah, that in a deeper sense. That's the way we have to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we'll start, again, we left off with this paragraph, but kedai to start from this paragraph again. Af gamzos, the third paragraph on the page, and afid beis. Af gamzos, anulom de mimamaram zal. The same lashon of the Chovos HaLevavos that we saw in the very beginning, that the Chovos HaLevavos states that the avoda is what he, how does he define the neshama, is roa ve'eno niris, that the neshama sees but cannot be seen. So bekan mitarim lanu chazam mahi ruchnius bechlala. This is spirituality. What is ruchnius? Ruchnius is the bechina of roa ve'eno niris, to see but to not be seen. Yeah, excuse me. That's the avoda of spirituality in this world. The avoda of spirituality is roa ve'eno neres. He zana es kol olam ve'aguf u'memalei osa. Yeah, shoresh kol nivra ba'olam v'chol ever ba'aguf hu beruchnius u'mishoresh zem agia achias aleihem. The root of every creation in this world, of every limb in a person's body, is ruchnius, and the shoresh that sustains this. Is the chiyas. In other words, there's chiyas that's constantly coming down from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that sustains us on every level possible. And a person has to learn to see that. The person has to learn to look beyond the physical world to see that which cannot be seen. To understand, and this is a very difficult thing for us, to see past the mask of this world and to be able to recognize that there's something deeper here. Ruchniyazu, and this concept of ruchniyaz, memaleas kol ha'avaya, akiles asar panim minay. It's not the pshat that some things are sustained by ruchniyaz and some things are sustained by themselves. No, everything is sustained by ruchniyaz. Kiles asar panim minay. There's nothing else in the world. Ein od milvado. I once heard from one of my rebbeim, he said, the biggest secret in all of Yiddishkeit is ein od milvado. Why? Because as soon as you say it, it changes your whole life. How could you say the words ein od milvado and then say, and now I'm going to go, you know, do, I don't know, let's say too much ishtadlus. Obviously everyone has to do ishtadlus, right? That's not a stira to Einod Movado. But if you think about it, that really everything is coming from the Rebbeinu Shlom, it really diminishes the amount that we have to push. Yeah? And it's kiles asar panim minei. There's literally nothing in the world that's coming outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, it's becoming conscious of this thought. And we have to know that this that sustains the world, this ruchnius that sustains the entire world, this chiyus, it's tahar and it's hidden. It's bechadrei chadarim. The harotzel lezakos eleha muchroch mikaidim lachter lachter letoich techiyusam shakol advarim. And if a person wants to live in this way, then they have to go deeper. In other words, there's no such thing as leading a surface level life and then saying, how come I'm not feeling my Yiddishkeit? How come I'm not excited about my Yiddishkeit? How come I'm not connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You can't live on the surface and then wonder, like, why am I not connecting to it? Because the connection is toich techiyusum. You got to get bechadrei chadarim. You got to go deeper inside of yourself. Like Rav Albi, I think in Chelek Sheni, he writes about people who learn to see deeper, he says they see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything. He said when they look at the cosmos, when they look at the stars, they're in awe of the Rebbeinu Shalom's majesty. And when they look at the dirt, they don't just see the dirt, but they see the soil and that which is under the soil and all the rocks. And when a person looks at history, and Rav Volbi writes about history, that when a person looks at history, they should be able to see the Yad Hashem in history. In other words, you can't be a surface level person. I heard from one very chashuv Rav, he had a very good line. Somebody was complaining that that they went to a certain rabbi and they wanted to know. It was a woman who wasn't observant, and she wanted to know what's going to happen to my husband now that he passed away. And the rabbi said, "The truth is, no one really knows." And the woman got very upset. See, he didn't answer my question. He started saying, "Well, I believe this, and my wife believes this." She said, "I want to know what happens." So she went to this other rabbi, and he gave her an answer. Later, these two rabbis saw each other at some sort of conference, and he said, "You know, this woman's very upset at you." He said, "Why?" He said, "You didn't answer her question." So the rabbi says, he goes, all these people, they want simplistic answers. He said, "No, they're not looking for simplistic. Simple, maybe, but not simplistic." Yeah? There's a difference between simple and simplistic. Simplistic is surface. It's not being a deep person. Simple is truth. Right? Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence is simple. It's not complex. It's a simple existence. Yeah? When a person understands the truth, even when the truth is very, very deep and very, very complex, when you understand it, it's very, very simple. It's like if you're working on an idea and you're working on it and working on it and working on it, yeah? At the end, when you got it, it's simple. You almost like, I don't even remember what it was like not to understand the idea. And my Rebbe told me, my Rebbe did his master's degree in Columbia. And the story of Parnas, the story, you've heard the story from Rebbe. He's unbelievable. He said he was doing his master's degree, and he explained that the difference between a master's degree and a doctorate is that in a master's degree, you have to say something over well, and in a doctorate, you have to be mechadish something. He was doing his master's degree in mathematics. So he said he was up till 3:30 in the morning, and working on this idea, that he should chap this idea. And he finally chapped it. Ah, I got it. And then he thought to himself, what do I have? Like, so I know an idea in math. And now he said, that's it, I'm going back to learn. And he spent 59 years, this is his first year retired, he spent 59 years teaching. Yeah, one of the, in my mind, one of the Gedolei Lamdas of America. Certainly one of the Gedolei Lamdas of America. All because once the idea became simple to him, he started thinking to himself like, well, now what? So I know an idea in math. Somebody, just Agav Orcha, even though this doesn't really have anything to do with this, just a good vort in the story, is somebody said to him, when he told over the story, he said, Rebbe, you were married at the time? He said, yeah, I was married. So the guy said, wow, Rebbe's wife must have really loved Torah, you know, to give up, he was going to become a professor in mathematics, and, you know, chosh of a guy. So he looked at the Talmud and he goes, no, I don't think she loved Torah. I think she just loved me. That was the Musr from my Rebbe. Always, whenever I tell the story, you can't tell half the story. That was the real Knesh. That was the real Musr. But okay, but again, simple is not the same thing as simplistic. A person could understand something on a very simple level and it could be very, very deep. A person can't understand life on a simplistic level and then wonder, how come I'm not attaching myself to the Rebbeinu Shalom? How come I don't feel it? Because you have to be, as Rav Volbi says, lachter l'teich teich yusum shakol advarim. We have to get deep. Lamud al nishmaso, kihi ikar havayaso. Let's get into the neshama. That's the ikar havaya. That's the ikar existence. V'lirayis nechoicha. Let's see in a correct way. Ruch niyuso shal olam kulo. Let's start putting on those glasses to see what is the true existence. Eichu b'maya gilaza. How do I come to understand that? So Gilu Chazal is in the Kudahimer causes. This is where Chazal give us the central point. Asher Eileha Anutzrichim Levaseis Savodosenu. On this we're going to base all of our Avoda. Im Amdam Bahasaga Ruchnias or Chafatzim, whether it comes to understanding Ruchnias or physical things in the world. Vihi, it's very simple. Maha Kadosh Baruch Hu Roa Ve'eno Nira. Af Neshama Roa Ve'eno Niris. It's very simple. It's very simple. The Gemara gave us the key. The Gemara gave us the key to understanding how we should understand, how we should get deep. How do we get deep? The Gemara says, you have it in you. This is what it means, lo bashamayimi, lo mevelayami. You don't have to go anywhere to attach yourself to the Rebbeinu Shalom. You were given the kelim to attach yourself to the Rebbeinu Shalom. That's called the neshama. When it means the neshama is a chelek elokam mimal, in the real sense of this literally is the way to attach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You got a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the puzzle piece. This is how you fit. You're not going to fit on a gufnius level. If you're wondering, how come I'm leading a physical existence and somehow it's not clicking? Why is it not clicking? Listen, if you're fressing all day, you're not going to be able to fit into the Rebbeinu Shalom. We have to make time to do the proper hisbeinunus and hisbeidudus, to be able to think, to be able to get that clarity, to think. Let me get deeper. What is that part of me that can see which is not seen? To see that which cannot be seen. That's what the neshama does. It's roa ve'eino niris. It sees and it cannot be seen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees and cannot be seen. That's the puzzle piece. That's the connection. That's the golden ticket. To say this in a little bit of a deeper way, I think I said this, Dani, over to you once, but I think just say it fast, a really incredible idea is if we want to get to the neshama, we have to go through the stages to get through the neshama. What does that mean? It means everybody lives on three levels. What we'll call the external self, the internal self, and then the essential self. Yeah? The external self, and each one has its own environment that it needs in order to thrive. For example, in our world, if we don't have oxygen, what happens to our skin? It shrivels up, right? That's why when we were kids and we took a bath, so you see little kids come out of a bath, but they're always like looking at their fingers, yeah? My skin shriveled up. It's a cool thing to them because it was lacking oxygen. Masha Enkein, if I cut myself open, if I'm doing surgery, yeah, I have to be very careful about the oxygen in the room. Because that same oxygen that sustains my external is going to destroy my internal. So you have to be very careful. What oxygen is in the room? It has to be pure, it has to be clean. So the external self is what we'll call our social self. Yeah? If a person is not social, what's going to happen to them? They're going to shrivel up. That's not good. The Rebbeinu Shalom made us to be social animals. On the other hand, our internal self is our thoughts and our emotions. Yeah? That deserves to be inside. It has to be appropriate boundaries. You know, sometimes you see people in the world that they can't, they feel something and immediately they have to tell someone. That's distorted. Yeah? Just because you feel something doesn't mean you need to say it. Right? And I'm sure we've all experienced this in our marriage. Just because you feel doesn't mean you should say. And by the way, not every feeling is appropriate either. Yeah? Certain feelings are just inappropriate. Not because they're wrong, because they're inappropriate. Of course I can experience it. Of course, it's really happening to me right now. But that doesn't mean that I ought to be having that feeling, right? The Avodah HaMusaris is to be able to feel in an appropriate way. Not everything that I think needs to be said. That's another thing. Today, in the world of everyone's blogging anonymously, I could say whatever I want, right? And there's no repercussion. Look, I put it out there. This vile piece of disgusting filth. I put it out and nobody knows. Not everything you think needs to be told to everybody else. What do we do if we're in a social environment and we need to feel something or we need to think about something? We go quietly, yeah, into a room by ourselves. So the external self needs to be social. The internal self, dafka, doesn't need to be social. If a person is appropriate on both levels, this is the golden ticket now. If it's appropriate, meaning if you're appropriate externally and you're appropriate internally, then you reveal your essential self. Your essential self is the chelek elokam mimal. That's this part of us that Revolbi is describing as roa ve'eino niris. And by the way, when I say appropriate, what that really means is tznius. Right? We know tznius is not just for women, and it's certainly not just about a button. Yeah, that's also a big disaster in today's world, that tznius has become a measuring stick of where does it go to. Again, I'm not saying it's not chashuv how a person dresses. I'm saying that is so not what tznius is. Tznius is being appropriate on all levels. I have to be appropriate on an external level, on a social level. I have to be appropriate on an internal level. And if I'm appropriate on those levels, then it reveals in a very deep way, even to myself, that I'm bigger than both of these things. I'm my essential self. I can tap into that. It's a very powerful idea. One of the challenges that we have in today's dor with tapping into the essential self is we're so consumed by the external and the internal and on a very inappropriate level. Like I said, we're constantly being bombarded by people. I had a chaver of mine who said very well, he said, today everybody needs to go to a therapist because nobody spends any time by themselves. Your phone comes with you into the bathroom. it's a great opportunity to answer some of my emails. No, it's not. I don't mean to say a person is doing his bodhis in the bathroom. I'm saying, you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to bring out a miyazdika point. I'm trying to say, like, there's very little concept of time alone today. No? There's very little concept of time alone. Before they started building Gimel, I had a very nice thing. I would go sit on my merpeset, and I would sit in a chair on my merpeset, and sometimes it's good just to think. I told you, I said over the maisa from Revelia Lapian, did I say that over yet? It was a beautiful maisa with Revelia Lapian, one of the great mashkichim of the last door, that he came onto a bus, and he sees in the back of his bus, I said this over, a Talmud is sitting and learning. The Talmud thinks, like, oh, the mashkiach's going to be so proud of me. I'm sitting and learning. And Revelia went over to him, he said, what's the matter, you're afraid to be with your own thoughts? And, okay, close the sefer. It's a weird musaf to give. Close the sefer, yeah? Just think a little bit. You have to go deeper into yourself, that's the point. Okay, so let's continue weiter. If you want to elevate yourself to this madrega of really getting into the neshama, understanding that which fills the entire world, sustains the entire world, you have to stop looking. You have to stop using your vision. Because everything your eyes see are physical, by definition. And I wrote in my notes over here, Kamo Yitzchak Avinu. Yeah? That dafka which the eyes don't see, that's the ruchnias. And we know that Yitzchak Avinu, right, that the Malachim's tears blinded him. What does that mean, the Malachim's tears blinded him? It means he saw deeper. Just because you're blind doesn't mean you don't see. Yeah? You guys ever go to the blind museum? You must go to the blind museum, and you must bring your children. It's unbelievable. One of the most powerful experiences, bar none, that I've had in my life. And the tour guide that brings you around is blind, through these seven rooms. And at the end, you sit with him, and he talks to you about what it's like to be blind. And you know what he told us? He said, you guys feel bad for me, don't feel bad for me. He said, first of all, I've been blind since birth. Yeah, so it's not like I've ever experienced sight. He goes, but you know, I might be vision impaired, but you guys are sight addicted. It's a powerful line. I mean, obviously, I still want my eyes. Yeah, and the Gemara says that the Summa is Daima Lameis, that a blind person is considered like a dead person. Which the truth is, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz really explains, doesn't mean that they're like a dead person. It means they have trouble seeing another person and relating to that person so they can give them what they need. That's what it means, Daima Lameis. If you're not a giver, then you're a dead person. That's how Rav Chaim Shmulevitz understands that Gemara. But still, he said, he goes, listen, he goes, you experience music, he said, with your eyes. It diminishes your hearing. It diminishes the way you feel the beats. In fact, one of the rooms is just an enormous stereo system, and they play the music, and you literally can't see a thing, and you feel the music, and you really hear the music. And you can learn. He said, I know how to trust much better than you guys. He said, think about it. You don't trust because you're only, I know what I saw. And people say that all the time, right? I know what I saw. Do you? Do you really? How do you know that your perception wasn't distorted? He says, I have a clearer perception. Again, personally, I thought it was one of the most inspirational things. Just because you're not using your eyes doesn't mean you can't see. Fakert, that's what Rav Volbi is telling us. When you're looking with your eyes, that's shayach rak v'chaymer l'guf. When you're not using your eyes and you're closing your eyes and you're feeling it, let me feel what's being mamali the whole world. Let me feel that. You can sort of feel the energy that's pulsating in the world. You'll be a neshama dekayid. V'ruchni yazu, mitziyasi, lo pachos me'asher mitziyas hadvar magashmiyim. Shulchan, kisei, bayis, eitz. Don't think that the existence of ruchnius in the world is any less than a table, or a chair, or a house, or a piece of wood. It's just that you can't see it with your eyes. But like we said, just because you can't see something with your eyes doesn't mean it's not real. As I tell my Talmidim all the time, your thoughts aren't real. Can you touch a thought? Can you see a thought? You can measure a brainwave. You can't touch a thought. Does that mean your thoughts aren't real? We know that just because we can't see something doesn't mean it's real. Can you touch a feeling? Can you see a feeling? Doesn't make it less real. That's, by the way, that's part of the stupidity of this generation. Everything needs to be proven. And they think, well, what do you mean, everything doesn't need to be proven? Of course not. There's no such thing as an art proof. What? Art.
Art.
Yeah? Like if I cut myself and take blood and throw it on a canvas and call it art, somebody might pay $1 million for that. Yeah, that's not art. You cut yourself, you're a lunatic. Yeah, that's not. There's no such thing as an art proof. Or one person's music is not another person's music. It's because we're growing up in a door of science that we think something is not real unless I can test it in a lab. That's silly. Not everything can be tested in a lab. Today you should know that even in marriages they want to be able to test it in a lab. They have all these books written by all these studies going on now of they can mamish measure the relationship. If a person speaks like this and she speaks like that, the rate of potential for divorce goes up to 60%. And they have all these things. Kol HaKavod. So it's a beautiful thing. They're trying to figure out how we could be better in our marriages. Seder. I also want to be better in my marriage. But it's a silly notion to think that you can measure a relationship. The feeling that we have is much bigger than anything that could be measured. It's all part of this, I need to be mitzamtzemet in order to understand it. Not everything needs a tzimtzum. Yeah? Something can just remain in its ein sof type of way. Why can't we just allow something to be infinite and enjoy it in that way? Allow something to be timeless and endless. We're always, you know, there's a comedian, a very funny comedian, and Zafka, a very clean comedian, and he talks about how there's microwavable instructions on your Pop-Tarts. He said, if you need to zap fry a Pop-Tart, yeah, that you need to change your day. Yeah, you should not need to microwave a Pop-Tart. If you don't have more than 3 seconds to heat up your Pop-Tart, something in your life needs to change. It's true. It's like this. It's this constant motion. Avi, you know which comedian I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Of course you do. Yeah. The other part of that is there's multiple instructions for how to toast your Pop-Tart. That's my favorite part. It's like first step is open pouch. You know, somebody. Otherwise, what do I do with it? I don't know. I just slam it into yourself. Yeah, it's a disease. It's a disease. Everything needs to be mugdar. Everything needs to be mitzumtzum. Everything needs to be confined. It doesn't need to be this way. The love that we have for our children should not be defined. It should not be something I can see. It should be something that I experience. It's the same thing with our love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not any different. Va'al tachshov ki mitziyasu hi inyan philosophy. This is not a philosophical idea. Rav Volbi makes fun of the philosophers a lot. That's one of my favorite parts in the Sefer. We're just like ripping on the philosophers. So it's not a philosophical inyan. Lo, ki ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu roe. God sees. V'gam ha-neshama roe. The neshama sees too. Klomar, hu yisbarach chai v'roe osi. I am living with a lebedeke Rebbeinu Shalom. He's alive. Fakir, he's more alive than anybody. His existence is the true existence. That's what Yud Kei Vav Kei means. It means the truest form of existence. Ein od mavado. He is the true existence. It's a lebedik Rebbeinu Shalom. It's not this dead, God in the sky. These are Catholic ideas. These are not Yiddish ideas. We're living with a lebedik Rebbeinu Shalom. That's real. It's not a philosophical thing. It's as real as this table. It's as real as every single person that's sitting here. Except that we're so used to just visualizing everything that we're losing the whole thing. We have to stop, we have to learn about Ruchnius. Go into the Pnimius of the Neshama that's inside of us. And when we are literally working on this Metzius of the Neshama of the world, going into the Pnimius HaDvarim, not seeing things on a surface level, that's when we will start to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if we've been serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu very simply just by doing and doing and doing and doing and not by being, then we have not been serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the true way. We missed the boat. And there are people that, I had a Talmud once who said to me, he goes, I wrap the straps. I said, you wrap the straps? I said, you wrap the straps. He said, that's what he said. That's what he spoke about, putting on tefillin. I said, no wonder your davening doesn't mean anything to you. You wrap the straps? What does that mean? But you know what? He's right. How many people in this world are wrapping straps? They're just wrapping straps. Yeah, and in our davening, Rav Volbi writes extensively about this in the piece on Tefillah, which is a beautiful piece. And in davening, how many people are just saying the words? And Rav Volbi writes that the words get in the way of davening. I wouldn't have said it by myself. Rav Volbi says, just the words, the taka get in the way sometimes. Sometimes we're so focused on saying the words that we lose the personal supplication that should be involved. Yeah? This is not serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in truth, because it's not coming from a place of being that's inside of us. So that's what the Gemara means. If you are a person who's being with these five things, you can now start to be Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now we're in a relationship. This, and really, just to pause for a second, that's the whole Yisod. The whole Yisod is relationship. I've said it before, we have to continue to remind ourselves. The Yisod of being with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not doing for Him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not need us one kihuzeh. His existence is fine without us. The way that I heard it said, I don't know if I said this over, There's three ways of proposing to your wife. One way is to say, marry me, I can't live without you. If you say that to a woman, she should run for the hills. You can't live without me? What are you, sick? You can't live without me? On the other hand, if we come to our wives and we say, marry me, I can live without you, nobody's going to say yes. This is not a good way of proposing. So how should a person get married? What was that? Marry me, I can exist without you, but what type of life would that be? Yeah. If you say that, every girl in the world is going to fall for it. That's great.
How do you propose?
That's also a good line. Yeah, the problem is my wife would have said, no thanks. You don't have that much to give away. But that's a beautiful way of saying it. No, but what it means to say is, I can exist with you. The Rebbeinu Shlom does not need us to exist. But what would life be without us? We're in a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to think of it as a marriage. By the way, that's why we have marriage. The same. What does the word marriage mean? Marriage is the reunification of the soul. That's what it is. It's the reunification of the soul. So, that's the same way that we reunify with our partner. So too, in this world, the avodah is for the neshama to reunify with its source. Marriage is the greatest parable for our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's why marriage exists. It's to teach us how to reunify. That's the whole purpose here, is to reunify. But you can't do that on a physical level. We can't. If the whole thing is going to be about the next paycheck and the next paycheck and the next thing and the next, it's not normal. And listen, Baruch Hashem in Ramat Beit Shemesh, it's much better than it is elsewhere in the world. I'm going to America in 3 weeks. It's good for me. I always remember. I go back and I'm like, it's unbelievable. I'm spending 3 days in Los Angeles. In Los Angeles, it's like I grew up in the Five Towns. Los Angeles makes the Five Towns look like Ramat Beit Shemesh. You know, like it's like I tell you, I have to admit, last year I was in Los Angeles. The rent a car place gave me a white Ford Mustang, and I was driving down Rodeo Drive in a white Ford Mustang. I'm not going to tell you, I didn't feel like I was driving a chariot. You know, it's like, and you can't drive with two hands on a Ford Mustang. It has to be like this. You know,
top up or down.
Yeah, I actually once had a convertible Ford Mustang. And I pulled up to one of the schools to tell the boys about yeshiva, and the boys were outside. I said, this year every kid is coming to Mivazaret. Pull up in a convertible Ford Mustang. It was like November and snowing, but it didn't matter. I was going in. Okay. So zachinu bezel or chadosh. So now we've been given a beautiful gift. To go back and understand the chayves alavavos that we started off with. If you remember the way that the Chayv HaSalavavos describes what is the neshama, he says it's roa ve'eino niris. And we asked back then, Revolbi asked back then, he said that I wouldn't have described the neshama back that in that way. I would have described the neshama like the Ramchal, both in Derech Hashem and in Das Tfunos, that the job of the neshama is to elevate the guf. Why did the Chayv HaSalavavos come at it from this like side angle of it's nira ve'eino niris? So the answer is he hakdama l'chol asaga shel emes, the habasis l'chol avodaseinu, because this is the way to perceive truth. This is the basis for all of our avodah. Masha haguf hu noisei hayetzor v'hara, amna magder lanu es mahuso. The fact that the guf has in it the yetzor hara, that tells us what it is. Yeah, that's magder, it's mahus. But it doesn't tell us how to use the neshama. Yeah? The guf is that which houses the yetzer hara, the neshama is that which houses the yetzer tov. There's an eternal battle. Yeah, that's its essence. But how? How do I access it? That's what the Chayv HaSalavavos wants to know. How do I access that melchama? So that he teaches us. Nekuda his alazu hidaf gozu shaguf nire the hanefesh eno nires kasher bianu. That's this idea of stop seeing, stop being so physical, stop being so gufni. Let's go deeper. Okay.
Sorry, once again, the sikum, the kasha was what the
Chavetz
Chaim described.
Why does the Chavetz Chaim as roav eino
niris?
And the answer is, he's not getting, it's true. The Chavetz Chaim is not trying to describe its essence. That the Ramchal did in Derech Hashem by saying the neshama is that which elevates the guf. The guf is that which is trying to lower the state of the neshama. Yeah, but how do I access it? How do I, tachlis, how do I make it happen? How do I use the neshama? What's the manual for using the neshama? Roa ve'eno niris. That's the manual. I can't access my neshama if I'm accessing it on a physical level. And again, most of us have a very childish notion of some sort of white sphere that exists inside of us. You know, it's not what it is. It's nothing physical. It's something you have to feel. It's something we have to learn to access, not in a tangible way. And again, if we do this, it's so natural. We'll already know ourselves. You don't need more than that. You'll already know yourself that in davening, for example, imagine if in davening we took time before davening to make sure that our davening was a pnimius dika davening. How awesome would that be? How awesome would that be? You know, just to really be present with the davening. We're so not present, no? We're mamish not present. We're not present kemat in anything we do. You know, there's an unbelievable story about a little girl that was trying to get her father's attention. And the father was on the cell phone, you know, like we do. And the girl says, "Abba, please listen to me." And the father says, "I'm listening." He continues typing away on his phone. Yeah? He says, "Abba, please listen to me. I'm listening to you." She goes, no, "Abba, listen to me with your eyes." Were you listening? You might have heard all the words, but your child didn't feel like you were present. The Rebbeinu Shlom also doesn't feel like we're present, because the emissaries were not present. Because we're so often, like Rav Weinberger, I heard from Rav Moshe Weinberger from the Eishkadesh from Woodmere, he once said, he goes, you know, there's a level in davening where you don't even know you're davening. There's a level in davening, like the words came out of your mouth and you're like, was that, like, where am I? Like, you wake up and all of a sudden you're like, I'm in davening. I can't, I don't even remember saying the words. I push it wasn't there. It's like the Rambam calls it, misasik. You know, I always found it funny that the Rambam used like a halachic terminology for like misasik, for tefillah. If a person, you know, is there off in the clouds somewhere. Why? It's because you're not being pneumistic. Okay, let's... Yeah?
The guy finished davening, he went over to him, he's like, Shalom Aleichem. He's like, what do you mean? He's like, you just came back from, whatever you were, whatever you're thinking about.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Davening has very little to do with the words. The Panovicharov said when he was dying, he said, you know, he used to go around collecting money. So he said, I sacrificed my Torah on the altar of Torah. Yeah? He sacrificed his Torah on the altar of Torah. They say, though, that the Panovicharov once spoke to the Chafetz Chaim, and he was like a little, he's like, had Chalisha Sadas, like he was constantly having to run around collecting. And he said, I didn't even get to learn today. Chafetz Chaim said, what are you talking about? You learned thousands of hours today. He said, how could that be? He said, because you're responsible for all the B'nai Yeshiva. It depends what angle you're coming at it from, right? Sometimes a person is in davening, and maybe they didn't get to say all of the words, but they had a couple of minutes of true emistika, just releasing all that I really am, and giving that up to the Rebbeinu Shlom. Who says that's not a bigger davening than a person that said all the words? Again, Revolbi says this. I wouldn't have made it up by myself. But it's pretty pasha. The truth is, I'm not sure you need Revolbi for it. It's pretty pasha. It's not about, again, not to say that we shouldn't come on time to davening, but there are people that come on time to davening and don't daven, and there are people that don't come on time to davening and daven very beautifully, because they might have actually been talking to their Rebbeinu Shlom. The truth is that any time we see these people, we're very inspired. If anybody here knows of Mordechai Finkelman, right? I don't know, you know Mordechai Finkelman? He was my seventh grade rabbi. You know Mordechai Finkelman? Anybody who in their life, he was around? Anybody in their life who's seen Rav Mordechai Finkelman daven has seen what it looks like for a Jew to daven. And I want you to know that he was a Rebbe, and he was the learning director in Camp Dora Golding for many years, and I've had Talmidim and Talmidim that they come to Yeshiva and they tell me, the only reason I know how to daven is by looking at Rav Finkelman. Because I saw once Rav Finkelman daven, and it changed the whole davening. You see, that's a Jew whose neshama is connecting to the Rebbeinu Shlom. You could see it. You could see it. It's something you can literally experience. It's a visceral experience. It's something you could touch. It's not philosophical. You could see it. He's in a relationship. And the truth is, we're jealous. We're jealous of that relationship, and we want more of that relationship. And we're willing. The truth is, in principle, we're even willing to give up a lot for that relationship. It's just so hard to access, so we have to deprioritize it. So, but that's not really going to help us, because at the end of the day, it's inside of us and it's yearning to come out. Okay, let's go a little bit weiter. Me'ata suma aleinu levar besus Hashem es hayachas bein neshama v'guf ba'avoida haynu bein chovas ha'evarim bein chovas ha'levavos. Let's try to connect a little bit these two concepts: the chovas ha'evarim on the one hand, the physical actions that we do, and the chovas ha'levavos, the pnimius that we've been talking about. How do we connect these two? Hari mitzad echad kol ha'tachlis teluya b'chovas ha'evarim. On the one hand, we see in a very purposeful way, it's all about the actions. Shehem heim ha'mekadshim es ha'guf, because every action we do, that's mekadish the guf. We know the whole thing is that you're mesalik the ra, you get rid of all the evil, and it brings us to a place of illumination, an inherent illumination, that we're literally being megalek kvod shamayim. Right? Again, just to speak out, not to get too much into Kabbalah, but to speak out a little bit, that the concept of Kedusha, we mentioned already once, is always when physical and spiritual meet. Right? That's why in the Merkava, Kedusha always relates to the wheels. Literally, when the rubber meets the road. Right? That's the Kedusha. The Kedusha Saguf is where the rubber meets the road. That's what's moving the car, the wheels that are moving the car. So, Mitzad Echad, that wheel, that rubber that meets the road, the Kedusha Shabo of the Guf, that's maybe the Tachlis, that we should literally be illuminating Kved Shemayim. Me'idach. It's dafka the neshama that we know that can serve Hashem. So ketzad yesh lahatim shnei elav v'may yesh laslo. So how can we connect these two things? How do we start? Ein devereinu emurim b'mishachaytev mitzvos chumra po v'hanhaga sham. We are not speaking about a person that's trying to snatch up a couple of mitzvos here and there. Look at me, I've got a new chumra. Look at me, I've got a new hanhaga. We're not talking to those people. Revolbi has a whole section in here called frumkeit. Revolbi hates frumkeit. A chumra poi, a hanhaga sham. That's not what we're talking about. Ela b'mishia edeya sheha'adam tzarech livnois atzmoi v'avaydasoi. We're talking about a person that literally wants to build himself. He wants to build himself. We're not talking about mitzvos that are middle ba'adam. They're sort of like appendages on me. Yeah, it's not like we're talking about a person that wants to build himself. Just agav to mention over here in a fast way, for those that are familiar with Revolbi's Sefer Zriya Obinyan on Chinuch. So the whole sefer is built off this one line of that yisoid ha-chasidus v'shoresh ha-avoida from the beginning of Ramchal Mesil Shisharim, that chasidus is a yisoid and avoida is a shoresh, yeah? That there's planting and building. That when a person's building himself, he's really just referencing it like from the side over here, but that was a major theme in Revolbi's life, was planting and building into a person. Planting and building into a person. Ein kan makom laharech now. Maybe one day in the next, 10, 15 years, we'll be able to touch on Zriya Obinyan. Hayodeya shetzorich livnois atzmo memased atvachot omed maimer chazal hanal al seder avodaso. A person who really wants to establish himself, literally until the top. Yeah, you're going all the way. If you really want to go all the way, so we have to go back to the chazal before al seder avodaso. And we'll finish with this one paragraph. Yavoi mishiyesh b'heidvarim halalu v'shabeach mishiyesh b'heidvarim halalu. Again, that Gemara in Brachos. Reishis avaydaso shel ha'adam hi l'mashis ruchnius v'livnois es penimiyuso. How does it start? Revolbi is very stark. It starts from the inside. Even though we're going to see later that Revolbi says in our door it's not easy to start from the inside and we're going to have to come from the outside too. But me'ikir adin, it starts from the inside. It has to be that concept of getting deep, closing your eyes, going into the chavis halavavos. Umegidre avoda zu lefanes oirif lechol negia gashmius ulechol davare nira leinayim. We have to remove that which is oirif, to turn away that which we're so stuck. It's so thick. It's so hard to turn away from this. We have to turn away from all the bias, all the physical bias, all the einayim deka bias. Yeah, and bias bias. Yeah. All that which is turning us away. Leval nisa einenu l'shum toelas gashmias ha'alulu l'tzmaich mizasharom osom mekayim mitzvos. lest we end up raising up our eyes to a toelis that's gashmias, to go away from the purpose of our lives that's going to keep us from kiyam mitzvos. We have to start from the inside because that's what calibrates us. Yeah, if we're leading an internal life, we are calibrated for success. We're calibrated for kiyam mitzvos. If we're not, so then we're going to, that bias is going to calibrate us in the wrong direction. It has to be, always our instruments have to be in check. So you have to make sure the instrument is working. We have to get in touch with that emuna, not the emuna. And again, this Rav Volbi says throughout the Sefer, emuna is not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. That's simple, and it doesn't need any proof. It's as clear as the sun is shining in the field. I don't need to prove it. If I'm standing in the field and I look at the sun, if you can't see the sun, that's your problem. That's not what emuna means. Emuna means being in a relationship. HaChai Roeh, that I, he's my, it's a lebedik of God. We're living together. Yeah, it's an experience. It's something. It's visceral. Ha'emet al nekuda pnimiyah zu v'nichnas la'avedas ha'sifayna yachol ha'hamshech ruchni yazu gamotech ha'avedas ha'agluya. If you're living in this internal way with the hidden avoda and you're deep inside of your neshama and you're feeling it and you're bringing that to your Shabbos table, you're bringing that to your davening, you're bringing that to, you're putting on tefillin, you're doing all of the physical things that need to be done, but now they're meaningful. Kol od that we weren't doing it with the pnimius is just actions. But with the pnimius, it makes it into real kedusha. Yeah. The mitzvos are not there to teach us to be moral. They're there to elevate us, that we should become bigger. Without the pnimius, your guf will remain just that, just a guf. You're not going to be matzliach to elevate your avoda that's gluya, all the things that we do, all the beautiful things that we do. You're not going to be able to elevate it into an avoda of ruchnias without the pnimius. I'll just be messiah with this story. We're not going to have enough time to finish for now, but just to be messiah with this, I was in shul when I was a kid. I don't know if I said this over. I was in shul when I was a kid. And I had there was a guy in the shul that was becoming a ger. A great guy, nicest guy. I was maybe 15 years old. I said this. I said to him, this is the dumbest thing. You're walking around, it was a sukkah. Everyone's shaking their lulav. This got to look so dumb to you. And he looks at me and goes, no, I think it's beautiful. I remember feeling like the biggest loser in the world. He was living with the panemius. He really made a decision. I want to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To him, a lulav was beautiful. To me, Nebuch, I was not in a place where I was living with the pnimius. So to me, it was like a ridiculous thing. You're shaking a palm branch. Okay, Rav Osler, have a good Shabbos.
Yeah. You say it's Sfona. It's not Sfona, it's Sfuna.
Sfuna, yeah.
Sfuna,
yeah. Hidden. Yeah.
Question. Why is there a bracha for American language? It's always bothering. What's the answer to that?
Why isn't there those...